Wanted to share with you a message today. I've entitled it, Now What? Now What? Whenever a task is completed, happens in the business world, it happens in the ministry world, maybe most known for happening in the military world, if you will. Whenever a task is completed, whenever the mission is completed, there is a time of debriefing. It's just a time to process all that happened. And then, as well, a sense of looking at all that happened so as to be more prepared for whatever is next. And though I would understand that this virus thing is not completely finished, we're still in the shelter-in-place sort of phase. A lot of things are opening, but there's still a lot of things that are closed. The news of potential second wave that might come at some point, and a little bit even still the fear of that, what that might look like, and maybe even worse than what we've already experienced. I understand that it's not all finished. It's not really mission accomplished yet. But still this morning, as we're able to come together again after a long time having been separated, just a few minutes today to sort of debrief. Process all that we've gone through and see how we can take it all and maybe better prepare ourselves for whatever comes next. I want to do that this morning by sharing with you really four words and subsequent thoughts that go with that. The first is this: remember. We remember today. We remember what God has done. We remember how God has helped us. Seen us through. We read of it throughout really the Old Testament. I'm reminded of the children of Israel coming out of Egypt and the Passover meal that was established. And the indication was given as to its purpose. When your children, when your grandchildren, really we can look way down into the future, 100 years from now, when you're settled in the promised land and you all gather together and have this Passover meal and there's the lamb and there's the bitter herbs and all the rest, and somebody's going to ask you, what does it all mean? And you're going to answer them, we remember. We remember when God brought us out of Egypt, when God delivered us. You see it throughout the Old Testament after a victory. I think of it in the crossing of the Jordan as the Israelites crossed through. They were to pick up a rock and they were to establish an altar, a memorial on the other side of the Jordan. And again, the purpose, the indication given, so that when you remember, when you down the road, years and years, what's this group of rocks for? You'll remember, you'll tell them, we remember when God parted the Jordan and led us to walk through. And today is a good day for us to remember how God has helped us, how God has provided for us. I know we're not completely finished with it all, but here we are today, 10 weeks later, 10 weeks after the fact, and here we are. Today becomes a great moment then to remember the goodness of the Lord in our lives. Our response in relation to that, we are good to mark this moment. In 1 Samuel chapter 7, Samuel gathered all of Israel. They fasted, they confessed, they sought the Lord. Really, they returned to the Lord. And the Philistines heard that all of Israel had gathered and decided it's the perfect time to attack. When the Israelites heard of it, 1 Samuel 7 and verse 7, they were afraid because of the Philistines. And they said to Samuel, don't stop crying out to the Lord our God for us, that he may rescue us from the hand of the Philistines. And Samuel didn't stop. He cried out to the Lord on Israel's behalf, and the Lord answered him. And the Philistines drew near to engage Israel in battle. But that day, the Lord thundered with loud thunder against the Philistines and threw them into such a panic that they were routed before the Israelites. The men of Israel rushed out and pursued the Philistines and slaughtered them along the way to a point below Bethkar. Then Samuel took a stone. He named it Ebenezer, saying, thus far has the Lord helped us. Listen, I don't know how you would do it. I don't know what it would look like for you. I don't know what it would look like for us in the context of 2020 as opposed to Samuel's day. But I'm telling you, today is a good day for you to set up your Ebenezer stone. Thus far has the Lord helped me. I didn't have to make it through unharmed by the virus. I didn't have to make it through with my job still in place. I didn't have to make it through without losing my home, without getting into all kinds of physical trouble or financial trouble. And yet here I am today. And so today, somehow, some way, I'm telling you, it would be good for us to mark this moment and create our own sort of Ebenezer stone. Maybe it's for you to make a note in your journal. Maybe it's for you to write a letter to yourself, or better yet, to your kids, grandkids, and tuck it away for them to find, or for you to send 5 years from now, 10 years from now. Let me tell you the story that you would remember with me. How God brought it. The whole world was in a panic. The whole world was in a mess. But God sustained, God helped, God provided, God protected. And here's the story. Here's my Ebenezer stone. Maybe it's for you to find a place at this altar in a few minutes and mark that place that you'll always remember. Maybe life takes you elsewhere 10 years from now, 15, you come back to this church. I remember that place. I knelt right there. When all you kids, you grandkids, you remember, you've studied it in school now. You remember about the coronavirus. I lived it. I was there. And when it was all done and we came back and we gathered and we worshiped the Lord, it was right there that I made my own sort of Ebenezer stone. Thus far has the Lord helped me. And you'll be able to share that from our a response from our situation. How about this? It's a good time to celebrate, to praise the Lord, to celebrate His goodness, to honor Him, to exalt Him. Today's a good day for rejoicing. I'm telling you, if you've come into the place without a smile on your face, you've come in the wrong way. I'm telling you, if you weren't excited to be again in the house of the Lord, I'm telling you, I know we're not all robots. We don't all have to be the same way. We don't all have to necessarily respond the same way. But I'm telling you, you've come the wrong way. The armies had gathered against Jehoshaphat, and now there's been the victory. God has helped a battle that Jehoshaphat should not have won. But God has helped, and God has delivered, and God has protected. And Jehoshaphat didn't even have to fight the battle. It was to go out and just take up all the plunder, just to gather all the spoils of victory, as it were. On the fourth day of that, they assembled in the valley of Beraka, where they praised the Lord. Then, led by Jehoshaphat, all the men of Judah and Jerusalem returned joyfully to Jerusalem, for the Lord had given them cause to rejoice over their enemies. They entered Jerusalem and went to the temple of the Lord with harps and lutes and trumpets, and they made a whole lot of noise and they did a whole lot of praising. That's for us today. What the Lord has done and how the Lord has helped, it's good for us to come into this place making a whole lot of noise, celebrating Him, rejoicing in Him, praising Him because of what He's done and how He's helped us. In 2 Samuel chapter 6, the ark is returned to Israel, and David comes leaping and dancing into the city. And when criticized by his wife for it, he threatened to get even more undignified. I was thinking of it, if you weren't criticized by the way you came in here this morning, you just weren't dancing enough. You weren't celebrating. If somebody didn't look at you and said, that's too much, you need to settle down, you weren't doing it right, maybe. There's a sense like David where we recognize, oh, God's been good. The ark has come back, the presence of the Lord and all that it signified. No wonder David was rejoicing. And now, as we look back over these 10 weeks and even into the entire year and recognize that the Lord has brought me to here and sustained me and helped me and provided for me, isn't it good that I take the time then to rejoice and to celebrate all that He's done? There ought to be a sense of joy that all of us experience. I think it's true that sometimes, really, just in our humanity, but maybe more so as Christians, we ought to be careful. More so as Christians, this ought to be a little bit of shame on us. We're so quick to forget. We're so quick. 2.5 months ago, some of us, come on, we know it's true. We didn't know if we were going to make it. That was the thought. We were wringing our hands in fear. We were unsettled inside. And truth be told, we were fearful. I know that I went through it. I would read of someone who had died, supposedly of the virus, and they weren't in a nursing home, and they weren't 70 or 80 years old, but maybe they were 40-something, and all of a sudden, I just sensed this panic. Maybe like me, there would be something, you just didn't feel well on a given day. Maybe a stomach ache or throat started to bother you, and all of a sudden, oh no, what if I get sick? What if I get this? What if I don't make it through? And there were moments where I had to battle that. Even in the midst of a pandemic, I don't believe it's the destiny of a child of God to live in fear or panic or worry or anxiousness. And I know in those moments, having to battle that sense of fear. 2.5 months ago, we were unsettled, we were anxious, we were upset, and our tendency can be to come to a moment like this and just run now to the next problem. You've perhaps seen in the news, a governor's husband got in a little bit of a predicament, asked for a favor, was told no, and then sort of the news began to spread, and this isn't good, and so initially it was no, it never happened. And then the response was, well, it was just a joke. It was no big deal. You know what I think we do? I think we go through a time like we've just come through, and we come to this moment. God's brought us through. You know what we do? We look back and say, but I don't know if it was that big of a deal. I don't know. You know what's a big deal? What I'm going through right now. This is the big deal. Because we so quick to forget how anxious we were, how fearful we were, how upset we were, how panicked we were, all the world around us falling apart, and we were impacted by that. We come to this moment, and now rather than to thank him, we just go on to the next problem. It becomes for us a vicious cycle of one problem after the other, one worry after the other, one fearful thing after the other. And I want to encourage you, we can break that cycle today. And how do we do it? We thank him. We praise him before we run too quick to the next problem and think this wasn't such a big deal, but now this one is. I didn't really need God so much then, but I really need him now because this is the real trouble that I'm in. We thank him. We praise him. We turn our mourning into dancing. We remember all that this time held for us. We remember that in the midst of it all, God was faithful. And we celebrate that. And we praise him because he was and because he always is. May we as a church, New Life, listen to me. May we as a church, may we as a body of believers learn how to celebrate more and better. There ought to be a victory parade through this place. There ought to be old school Jericho March. Come on, somebody, that happens up in here because of what God has done. As we celebrate what he's done, as we take time to rejoice in his goodness, as we even, come on now, get a little undignified in this place. It is okay for us to celebrate God like that and to rejoice in his goodness, what he's done. Our lives right now, I don't know how it looks for you. Our lives today, this is our debrief, 10 weeks, whatever it's been. Our lives today ought to be marked by celebration, thanksgiving, and rejoicing. God has brought you through. God has brought us through. Here we are together again. And we need to make sure that he knows just how grateful we are because of what he's done. Number two, the second word is reflect. Similar to remember, but maybe just a little bit of a different context. We reflect on the lessons learned during this time. Can I ask that of you? What have you learned? What's been your focus during this time? What have you sensed, the change, that you've learned something different about you? Let me just share with you personally, I've learned sports isn't as much a necessity of life as I maybe once thought. Sort of hate to admit that. Probably going to erase that from the tape after this morning service, but it really is true. Denny mentioned something the other day about the NBA, and I can't remember what he said, maybe going to start or getting ready to make a decision, and I found myself, I don't know that I care. Now, 10 weeks ago, I was watching, I was in, who's going to make the playoffs, who's not, but now all of a sudden, it's not so important. When something's taken away, you realize, well, maybe it's not as big of a deal as I thought it was when it was around. Learn this, marriage and family is great, God's idea, but I'm not sure even God intended 24/7 for 10 weeks straight. If they ever come up with a movie that's a mix between The Shining and Lord of the Flies, I don't need to see it because I just lived 10 weeks. Our family could star in that movie. Learned this, everything can change in an instant. I'm amazed. Do you understand if we count June 6 months ago, January 1st is a brand new year. We had no idea, not even on our radar. We don't even have to go back to January. We just go back 10 weeks, not even on our radar. Are you kidding me? 10 weeks ago? That we were about to cancel Sunday service for 10 weeks. That's just impossible to fathom. And yet, in that short amount of time, hasn't everything changed? It really has. How about this? Everything is fragile. Our health is fragile. Our stability, fragile. There's people who have lost jobs and their job is gone. And I can guarantee you, March 1st, they never saw that coming. They never believed, even in the realm of possibility, that their job would be gone. Even a little bit, our freedoms, sort of a fragile thing. How easy church online and at home on the computer can be. That's dangerous because that's not the way it's supposed to be. In Acts chapter 2, they gathered, they met daily together. In Hebrews, the warning, don't forsake the gathering together. This, my friends, is the way it's supposed to be. Now, I'm glad for an online experience that we can have, so when we can't be like this, we can still stay connected through the ministry of this church. I'm glad for that. I want us to continue that. I think it's been good for us, good for a church. I think we've had ministry opportunity beyond just right in here, and so I think it's been a good thing, but it's not the way it's supposed to be. I've learned how much I appreciate this, how much I value this, how much I value you being here. What have you learned? What lessons? How about this? Most importantly, what has God taught you during this time? What has God spoken to you? What has God revealed to you? What lessons have you learned from Him? I believe this is true for every child of God. There's a purpose. There's a divine purpose in the things we experience and go through. God's involved. God's actively involved in your life and in my life like that. So that in everything, there is His working. There's His training. There's His preparing us for something new, for something different. He's preparing us for whatever He has next for us. So, what's that been for you? What's the work? What's the training? What's the preparing that God's been doing in your life? One of the things that I heard so often, I heard it from Jenny, I heard it from other pastors, I heard it, I think, even from some of you. One of the things throughout, you've heard it as well, through the quarantine, through the shelter, through all the word of the virus and how it was spreading and this and that and everything else, always this: God is getting our attention. Did you hear that? Did maybe you say that? What's going on? I don't know all that's going on, but I know this. God is getting our attention. And so the question again, He got your attention. What did He say? What did He reveal? What did He show you? What conviction did He bring? Maybe it was related to your time with the Lord. Isn't it true for so many of us, our excuse before, we never have time. We're too busy. We got work, got family, got hobbies, got school, got this, got that, got everything else. I don't have, Pastor, I love Jesus, would love to spend time in the Word, but I just don't have time. I'd love to be a great prayer warrior, a great intercessor, but I just don't have the time. I don't have the time to do it. Never enough time. Of late, you've had lots of time. Can I challenge you? I don't mean to sound harsh, but if you didn't do any different, If you still didn't spend time reading and studying the Word, if you didn't spend time in prayer, you have to understand today, you have a bigger problem than a time management one. Maybe that's the conviction that he brought to your heart. Maybe that's the conviction he brought to you. Throughout this, I often thought of our Sabbath rest. In some ways, maybe we'd consider it like this. God's made it mandatory for us here of late. It's interesting, you read that of Israel for 70 years, their exile. God, in portions of Scripture, says, you didn't give the land the rest that I commanded you, so I'm kicking you out so I can give the land the rest. And I wonder how many of us, we were too busy, had to build a business, had to go, 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 had to make more money, had to spend time here, there, and everywhere else, and we became terrible at the day of rest. And so God said, you know what, I'm going to take care of it for you. Not I'm kicking you out, I'm going to lock you in. And you're going to have your time of rest and renewal, spiritual rest and renewal, mental rest and renewal. Maybe that was the lesson, the thing spoken by the Lord. God stripped everything away so that you could enjoy, so that you could recognize just how much you need the rest. Maybe so that you could realign some priorities in your life. This time has been sort of a reset for us, hasn't it? Back to what's important, what's valuable, what isn't. What's necessary and needed, what isn't. Maybe for some, it was to simply remind us how much we need him, how distracted we had become by temporary and insignificant things, how we need to get our eyes set on him and focused on him again. Maybe this became for you a season where God worked in you and on you so that you could let some things go. Maybe God spoke to you as time to drop some baggage. Maybe there was an awareness of judgment. Maybe there was an awareness of evil at work. From that, our response, let me just encourage you in a couple things. First, this, don't miss the message. What did God speak to you? Don't miss that. Don't ignore it. Don't not be changed by it. I believe it was the Sunday after, it would have been Sunday, September 16th, 2001. David Wilkerson and his church, Times Square Church in New York City, preached a message that he entitled this, "The Towers Have Fallen, But We Missed the Message." Don't miss the message. The pandemic has come. Don't miss the message. Don't ignore it. Don't not be changed by it. The big deal is going back to normal, and we understand that, right? We want businesses open, restaurants. That's the normal we speak of. But how many understand there's a normal that we maybe ought not to be going back to? Because the Lord has spoken, and we're not going to miss the message, we're not going to ignore it, and we're not going to not be changed by it. How about this? See the good in the message. I love this story. One author writes, conversation, Bob Benson, whoever he is, recounts in a book he wrote, "See You at the House," about his friend who had a heart attack. For a while, it seemed his friend wouldn't make it, but he recovered. Months later, Bob has a conversation with his friend and asks, "Well, how did you like your heart attack?" "Scared me to death, almost." Bob continues, "Would you do it again?" "No way." "Would you recommend it?" Bob asked. "Definitely not." And then Bob continued his questioning. "Does your life mean more to you now than it did before?" "Yeah, it does." "You and your wife always had a beautiful marriage, but you're closer now more than ever." "We are. We really are." "Do you have a new compassion for people, a deeper understanding and sympathy?" "I do." "Do you know the Lord in richer fellowship than you ever realized?" "Yes." And then Bob comes full circle with his questioning. "So, tell me again, how did you like your heart attack?" It's a different perspective, isn't it? We see the good in what God has done. We see the good in a time where we were locked in and really, and maybe in some ways, all there was to do was to spend time with him and pray and worship, and we drew closer to him and we drew closer to our families, and we see the good in that there's a lot of chaos and there's a lot of mess and we don't understand it all, but we see the good that God did and how God worked. And we understand ultimately in the end that even in the midst of a pandemic, he is good. He's still good, and what he does is always and only good. And we're reminded of that as we see the good in the message that he shared with us. As we reflect on these things, consider this time, the things that we would reflect on. Maybe it's simply this: we listen and we learn. We listen to what the Lord has said and we learn from it so that we might be changed by it. Remember, reflect. Number three, recognize. I want you to listen to your pastor this morning because I believe it with all my heart. I don't want you to miss this message. I want you to be confused by it. I believe it even to be the word of the Lord that he would speak to you and to me, to all of us today. Everything that has happened, you must realize, you must recognize this. Everything that has happened, it's all about the soon return of Christ and the even sooner rapture of his church. Don't miss that. Don't be distracted by the things that aren't the main thing. Don't misunderstand. I'm not saying you can't believe in these things. I'm not saying you can't be opposed to these things. I'm not saying you can't fight for these things or to protect the country against these things. But you have to hear me today. This isn't about government control. This isn't about a push towards socialism in our country by those in power that would want to push us in that direction. This is about the soon return of our King. You have to hear me today. This isn't about vaccines and whether or not one day they'll be mandatory and whether or not you agree with that or disagree with that. And again, let me add, listen, you agree or disagree, whatever you want to do, just don't get caught up in thinking that this is all about that, because it's not. It's not about Bill Gates and his agenda, Dr. Fauci and his. This isn't about the World Health Organization and whether America should have a part or shouldn't. This isn't about a Chinese city or a Chinese lab. This isn't about a question of what's the best treatment, this or that. We should wear masks, we shouldn't wear masks. This isn't even about a virus. This is about the announcement. Hear it from heaven today. The King is coming. And he's coming soon. That's the message. You can't miss the message. You can't, listen, believe it, before it, be against it, take a stand, pursue it, educate yourself related to it. Just don't get caught up in thinking this is what it's all about and miss the shout from heaven that he's coming soon. Former Prime Minister of Great Britain, Gordon Brown, in an article dated March 26, called for a global government to tackle the coronavirus. We're closer today than we've ever been before to a world government and ultimately then a world leader. Let me remind you, we're a church, we're a fellowship that believes in the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. That means simply this: before the Antichrist, before this one world ruler is ever even revealed, we'll be gone. If we're closer today than we've ever been before to his rise to power, then you have to believe we're closer today to the sound of a trumpet. This isn't some conspiracy theorist on YouTube talking about one world government. This isn't even a pastor from the pulpit preaching that God's word says it's true and so we know it's going to be true. This is a world leader. It's his former Prime Minister of Great Britain saying, you know what we need? You know what would really help us when we come to crisis times like this? A world government would help us. This is a world leader, a former world leader saying that. All over Facebook, YouTube, even the news, talk of ID 2020, the potential of it developing into some sort of biometric tattoo of sorts, a mark that identifies you, vaccinates you, monitors you so that if you do get sick or near anyone who is, they and or you can be notified. regardless of ID 2020, everywhere has been the talk of whenever the vaccine is developed, the potential of it becoming mandatory, and some way to verify whether or not you've had it, the potential of you being limited where you can go, what you can do if you haven't. Do you understand 10 weeks ago the thought of that? I mean, we knew it because it was God's word, but let's just call it the way it is. We questioned, we wondered, how in the world is that ever going to happen? How in the world is the world ever going to come together for one world government? How in the world are we as a people so going to give up our freedoms to say, oh, sure, I'll take that mark so I can go get my groceries, so I can do. We read this in the Bible. The pages of Revelation are being lived in our lives right now. And yet 10 weeks ago, it would have seemed sort of theoretical, sort of absurd, sort of out there. We know it's true. God's word says it's true. But we just, how in the world is it going to happen? The thought 10 weeks ago that I couldn't go into a store if I hadn't been verified that I wasn't sick or whatever. The thought that we couldn't buy or sell unless there was a mark, paperwork to prove we were healthy. 10 weeks ago would have been absurd to even talk about. And yet, here we are. It's right now. In Revelation 13, he forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or on his forehead, so that no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark, which is the name of the beast and the number of his name. Listen, once more the reminder, long before, you have to hear me, dear believer, long before, listen, brother, listen, sister, long before the world ever gets to Revelation 13, we're going to get taken out of this world. If we're close to that, if there's talk of that, you better believe in the heavenly realm, there is the talk. Gabriel, get ready. Better get that trumpet tuned up. It's about to sound that thing and to bring my bride to the marriage supper so that my people can be with me where I am forever and ever. I want you to be encouraged. Some of you have been discouraged. Some of you have been scared. You've been thinking, oh no, mandatory vaccine, what if I don't want that? Listen, you've got to understand, there are things that you're concerned about that you're not going to be here for. You need to be encouraged. That's a reminder in Thessalonians. We encourage one another with the sound of a trumpet, the shout of the archangel. Those in dead in Christ, arise with us to meet the Lord in the air, to be with him forever and ever and ever. And now encourage one another with those words. I'm just going to say it because it is the way it is. Some of you need to quit with the YouTube and the Facebook videos, and you need to read 1 Thessalonians. You need to be reminded. Oh, but I'm not here for that. I don't want that. It's my country. I want to be careful. I'm going to be active until then, but I'm not here for that. I don't have to worry about that because the Lord takes me to be with him. The king is coming. Jesus is coming. And I know we can get a bit excited about that and sort of jump the gun and every little detail that even minutely relates to Bible prophecy. It can be the excitement that's generated that I think is not a bad thing, but can maybe result sometimes in some conclusions that maybe we shouldn't come to. I understand that. Listen, I believe it's true. Surely we cannot be denying that there is a corner that's been turned in the prophetic realm and that we are close, close to his coming. For 10 weeks, I believe it's been the message from heaven. The king is coming. The king, I say that sincerely this morning. I believe it to be the word of the Lord for us. I know you know it. I know we all know it. We look forward to his return. But I believe that from all of this, the Lord shouts to us from heaven, I'm coming. I'm coming soon. So what do we do with that? Our response, we are Christ's ambassadors. He has committed to us his ministry and the ministry of reconciliation. we implore all that we would know and encounter be reconciled to God. In light of his soon return, we do that with an urgency like we'd never done before. Listen, this isn't missions month, but I'm going to tell you right now, on this last Sunday of May, not even close to November, you need to be giving more to missions right now than you've ever given before. You need to be praying more for Heather and our missionaries more than you've ever prayed before. I'm telling you, you need to be talking to your family. I know you've talked to them 1,000 times, and 1,000 times they've told you no. You've talked to your neighbor 1,000 times, and 1,000 times. Listen, you need to talk to them 1,001 times, and tomorrow make it 1,002, and then 1,003. I'm telling you, there ought to be a sense of urgency. Is he coming, or is he not coming? Is he coming soon, or is he not? If we believe that he is, and we believe that it's soon, then today, right now, is the day where there must be an urgency that compels us and consumes us to go and share Jesus with all that we would know. Our response, we ready ourselves for his return. Are you ready? The King is coming. Jesus is coming. Are you ready? Mark chapter 13. No one knows the day or the hour, so since you don't know, stay alert. Be on the watch for my return. That's how you respond. Stay awake. Stay alert. Be on watch. Finally this morning, and let's conclude quickly. Number four, we respond. Remember, reflect, recognize, and respond. We respond the way the child of God should always respond to anything, to everything, in any situation, in every situation. What do we do? How do we respond? In it all, through it all, we pray. That's what we do. We go to prayer. We take hold of the horns of the altar. We pray, God, I'm not letting go until you've blessed me. God, I'm not letting go till you help me. I'm not letting go until you've worked the miracle that I'm needing you to work in my life, in my situation. What do we pray for? We pray for healing. We pray for protection. We pray for wisdom. Pray for help. Pray for strength, for power. We pray for guidance. Pray for blessing, pray for anointing. We pray for miracles, signs, and wonders. I believe it. Listen to me, dear believer. I don't mean this to sound rude, but as Christians, we need to talk less and pray more. That's just the way it is. We need to talk less. We need to complain less. We need to vent less, and we need to pray more. We need to talk more to Jesus than we're talking to people. Do you understand this morning? It's prayer that moves the hand of God. It's prayer that makes things happen. And you and I, we have access to Him. We have access to the throne room of grace where we can receive help in our time of need. Let me leave you with this. We pray for all of those things, and our list would be long. I want to encourage you, just a thought in my heart. Why pray for each of those things individually when we could pray for twice of it all? The story is 2 Kings. We could kind of compare. There's a little bit of an upheaval in Israel. It's not a plague. It's not a virus. There's a little bit of a crisis going on. Things are about to be changed. In this sense, Elijah, probably the greatest prophet in all of Israel's history. Elijah is the prophet that doesn't die. Remember, God just takes him to heaven. Elijah is about to go. And you can imagine, as the people of God, even Israel, oh no, now what's going to happen? Elijah's gone. Our connection to God, we're about to lose. This is about to happen. We're close, close, close. God has already called Elisha to be the prophet now. Some of you familiar with this for sure. In 2 Kings 2 and verse 9, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me what I can do for you before I'm taken from you." And do you remember? "Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit," Elisha replied. How about we simply pray for that? A double portion. That's not just wisdom. Oh no, Pastor, I need to pray for wisdom. Well, see, here's the thing. When you just pray for a double portion, you don't just get wisdom, you get twice wisdom. You get wisdom, wisdom. Well, Pastor, I just need the Lord to guide and direct me, help me navigate through this. Well, when you pray for the double portion, you get twice the guidance. Twice you get the double, more than you would have asked for and gotten for originally. That's not just joy. That's twice the joy that you would normally have. That's not just the strength. That's twice the strength. That's not just the power. That's twice the power. That's not just the miracle. That's twice the miracles. This is Elisha's expressed belief that even though the greatest prophet is about to be taken, the best is yet to come for God's people. God still has more to give. There are still more miracles to be done. There's more that God wants to show to his people of his power and his presence and his blessing. And Elisha gets what he asks for. We specifically consider that in the context of the miracles. You can count them up in Scripture. And he does twice as many as Elijah does. He asks for, and he got from God the double portion. That's what we pray for today. We pray for a double portion so that we can have twice as much of all that we would be inclined to pray for. On this Pentecost Sunday, can I tell you even our best prayer, God, we ask for a double portion of your Spirit on us. We do it individually. We do it collectively as a church. From this and all that's happened, we go forward. God, a double portion. We want you to do more in us than you've ever done before. We want more of you than we've ever had before. We want you to do more in our individual lives. Come on, brother. Come on, sister. God, I want you to do more in me. I want you to make me to be twice as effective as I've ever been before. I want you to make me to be twice as committed to you as I've ever been before. Listen, again, normal, we understand it, but I'm telling you, if your normal is to go back to how things were spiritually, I'm telling you, you've missed what the 10 weeks would be all about for you. I am telling you, instead of going back to normal, how about we step into a double portion and say, God, whatever it was before, whatever my commitment before, I'm asking for a double portion. I'm asking you to make me twice as committed. Whatever anointing was on my life before, I'm asking for a double portion. Make the anointing to be twice. Whatever I saw of your power, whatever I experienced of your power in me, through me, God, I don't want to go back to that. I want to step into the double portion that is twice of all that. How about for us as a church? Come on, somebody to step in the gap today and pray it for new life. God, a double portion for this church. Whatever we did before, we're not asking to go back. We're asking to step into a double portion so that it's twice. It's more. It's doubly more than whatever we've done before. We want to have twice the impact. We want to be twice as strong. We want to be twice as committed. We want twice the outpouring and infilling of his Holy Spirit. Come on, people of Pentecost. It's not just something trivial that we would pray for today. It's what we need. I'm telling you, as a people of Pentecost, we need Pentecost again. I'm talking to you, and I'm talking to me. We need Pentecost again. We need the building to be shaken once again. We need the wind to blow and the tongues as a fire to rest on us again. And so it's our prayer and it's our cry to God today, our response, because it's what we do as the children of God. We go to God. We go to our Father. And today, simply put, we pray, oh God, let there be a double portion that I would experience of your Spirit, of your blessing, of the miraculous being done. We're still in it a bit, but we're coming out of it. Now what? We remember with rejoicing and celebration, praise and worship. We reflect. God's getting our attention. The stripping away, the reset. We listen. We learn. We recognize. It's all about the nearness of his return. He's coming. He's coming. And we respond. We pray. And we make our petition known to him. God, like Elisha, I'm asking you for a double portion. Father, we've heard the word now, and we just want to respond to it. Have a few minutes with you so that you can speak to us, so that you can minister in us. Father, so you can help us. Some of us might come to these altars. We might find a place of prayer because there's a real urgent need in our life. God, would you meet your people here this morning? Father, have your way. We, your people, we want to seal this time with just a few minutes with you. Would you fill this room, Lord, I pray. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Maybe you're here and your relationship with Jesus is not where it should be. I want to just encourage you in the simple prayer, Lord, I just want you. I just sense in my spirit that would be enough in this moment. Come on, dear brother, dear sister, you've been saved a long time. I know you have, and I know you love the Lord, but would you just tell him once more, Jesus, I need you. I want you. I want you. More than anything else, I want you. Would you stand to your feet with me this morning? I pray today that you would be changed as you remember, reflect, recognize, and respond, changed by it all. And I pray today that you would experience the blessing of God on your life. I speak it. I declare it over you. Would you just extend your hands to receive the blessing of the Lord today? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious and good to you. The Lord turn to you and give to you his peace. Amen. Amen. Amen.